This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com. Scripture reading today, would you please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bag, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatever house ye enter into, there abide, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is God's word.
We have many, many, many benefits and privileges of living in the 21st century. There are a lot of advances that our world has nowadays that were not there for hundreds of thousands of years. And one thing that I noticed is that when I read the Bible, oftentimes I come across things that Jesus uses in his teachings that are things that I don't understand, because our culture is very far removed from that culture. For example, I had to learn what a wineskin was. I didn't know what a wineskin was and what it means that wineskins burst when you add new wine to the old wineskins. And I didn't even understand the new cloth on the old garment type thing. We're so far removed from the ancient culture that was very self-sufficient in many ways. And one thing I learned in recent years is Jesus' teaching of leaven. You see, Jesus taught a parable once that said the kingdom of God is like leaven. And it's like a woman who has a batch of dough and she puts the leaven in the dough and kneads the dough and the leaven causes the dough to rise. You remember that parable? I'm paraphrasing it. But for many of us, we don't understand maybe what it means because not many of us are baking our own bread. I know many of us are, but I mean us and the world around us. Not many are baking their own bread. They go to a store, they get the bread. The bread comes off of the bread tree, you know. And it comes in the package and bring it home. But in the ancient world, many, many families had to bake their own bread. And I've had the privilege of seeing Alicia in the last couple of years bake sourdough breads. And she has on the counter at home this jar of this substance that's like, it's interesting, but it's also, it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies slightly. It's a living thing that she says, oh, I have to feed it. And it's not just an it, she names it Doris. She says, oh, Doris is hungry. I have to feed Doris. And so she feeds Doris, and Doris enjoys the food that she gets, but she's living, and Doris gets her clothes changed once in a while, and she transfers jar to jar. And I've been amused by this starter substance that she has. And what she does is she takes a flour mix, and she mixes in all the necessary ingredients for the bread. Then she takes a little bit of Doris, the children, and puts it into the dough, mixes it in with the dough, and puts the bowl into the fridge or leaves it out on the counter. And what is this much dough to start is overflowing the bowl within a few hours. And when I see that happen, and then I read that parable, I say, I get it. The kingdom of God is like leaven. You see, back in the ancient world, they didn't have instant yeast that you have in your fridge. They had sourdough leaven. that they kept for generations and passed on, and they took a little bit and they put it in that batch and something happened that was wonderful. We are participating in the purpose of God to expand the kingdom. We participate in the purpose of God to expand the kingdom. We are here to exalt the Lord, amen? We are here to equip the saints, to be equipped, amen? But we are here to expand the kingdom of God. And we are the substance, in a way, that God uses to be injected into the world. And God does an amazing thing through us. Think of the fact that Christianity started by one man who had 12 followers, one got switched, 12 followers, and they brought a message of the kingdom of God to the world around them, the places that their feet or a boat could bring them. And 2,000 years later, millions of people all over the world are expanding that same kingdom. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are continuing the expansion of the kingdom of God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Jesus sent 12. And when he sent them, he gave them instructions. He gave them a task, and that task never changed. It's the same method. It's the same calling. It takes its form in different cultures. There are different doughs that the leaven goes into. But it's the same process. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out his followers with a message. In verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together. And it says that he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed, went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, aside from the few rules, if you will, of not taking this or that, nothing has changed. Later in Luke, he says that you now can take a staff with you, you now can take money with you. He changed that, but the rest has been the same. In verse 1, Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to send you out, but look what he did before he sent them. It says that he gave them power. Now, this particular hallway, expand the kingdom, is locked. You ever been in a house where they have a hallway that's closed off by a door? This hallway is locked. You may be in the house, you may be saved. But you need something to get into that hallway to do the will of God. And you need the power of God. You and I need the power of God in order to expand the kingdom of God. I have in my garage a set of tools. They're DeWalt tools. Sorry, all you Milwaukee fans. These tools are used to do work. For example, I have an impact drill that I can take and turn screws into wood. If I take that tool as it is, without a battery, it is absolutely useless. It can do nothing. But when I take that battery pack and I plug it in the tool, it does amazing things. So it is with us. We can spend all of our energy expanding the kingdom of God. But unless we have the power of God, relying on the Holy Spirit of God, based in the truth of God, We're not doing the work of God. So we have to rely on, depend on the Lord in humility and asking God, God, we need power to do this. We need power on high to bring your message to those who need to hear it. So now that we've received the power of God, when we have our lives in a right relationship with God, that we're not holding on to knowing sin, that we have abided in Christ through humble obedience, not that we're perfect, but that we are seeking to follow the Lord, that we're not letting our sinful nature get in the way of our relationship. When we open ourselves to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He fills us with the Holy Spirit. When we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine which leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Once we're filled with the Spirit, we have the power of God, and then He sends us down the hallway. And the rest here is seen in verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The first room that we go down is labeled send. Send. God has to send us. God has to send us. In verse 2, He sent them to preach the kingdom. That word sent is apostello, from which we get the word apostle. An apostle is just a sent out one. It is one who has been sent by God. Now, there were unique apostles in the first day that had the unique calling of establishing the church and having witnessed the resurrection of Christ and have been given certain powers. We may not be apostles in that sense, but we are sent out ones. That we are sent, there is an apostolic calling in which that we are sent to bring the gospel to those around us. We are called by God with His power to expand the kingdom by being sent out. Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, all authority has been given under heaven to me. And He said, go therefore and make disciples. Or look back in Isaiah's day when Isaiah had that vision before God Almighty, thrice holy. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. God atoned for his sin through the coal. And then God said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, send that person. Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. It's hard to be sent to do the will of God, because it requires sacrifice. It means that our plans get turned upside down. It means that we may not do the things that we wish we wanted to do or thought we were supposed to do. We may go through a struggle like Jonah did when God looked at Jonah and said, you, go to Nineveh and preach to them the message I give you. And Jonah said, I'm going to go to Tarshish, which is in the opposite direction. God said, no, I want you to go to Nineveh. So He sent Jonah a storm and a fish and eventually got him where He wanted him to go. Now, sometimes God sends us fish and storms to wake us up to our rebellion and our disobedience. But ultimately, God wants us to go. Now, one of the reasons the kingdom doesn't grow is because God says go, and the people say no. But when we say yes, here am I, send me, we're like leaven. We're sent into the world. Now someone might be saying, okay, are you saying, Pastor, that you mean that we all need to be like missionaries? That we all need to be sent to some foreign nation where the gospel is not heard and there's an unreached people group. Is that what you mean? Maybe. Maybe God is calling you to foreign missions. That should be on your table of possibility, especially young people here this morning. We need to have open on the plate of our lives, everyone here, the fact that God may send you from where you are today to somewhere else to be leaven and bring the kingdom of God to people who have never heard the name of Jesus. But more than likely, we are all sent where we are. Where we are. Every single one of us must realize that we have been sent by God. And so we engage here in the task of being sent. When you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He made your home in heaven. That means you're not home. You're here on a journey and on a mission as a missionary to where God has called you. And you are sent to the people that God has called you to interact with. Maybe somebody here this morning, God has been stirring something in you, and God is telling you to change something in your life because He wants you to change your environment or circumstances so you can interact with more people. But most of the people here this morning, I am assuming, are where God has called them to be. Take a look at the people around you and the people you engage with, you're sent to them. You are sent to them. And until we come to grips with the fact that we are to be sent, we won't have an urgency in our hearts. Think of a missionary, they go to a foreign field and their whole lives are just geared around, I've got to bring the gospel to these people. Why is it that we back here, not being sent out there, we get this mindset like, oh, we have to help those people. We do. But we are called to the people God has placed us in. Now imagine, do you remember when you were young and your parents, you got old enough to the point where your parents entrusted you with the task of going to the local store and getting a jug of milk or getting a loaf of bread or something like that, if you've ever had that experience. The parent says to the child, I'm sending you to the store. Now, it wouldn't make sense if when the parent looks at the child who's on the couch and says, so-and-so, I'd like for you, I'm going to give you this cash to go to the store, purchase that milk, and come back. It wouldn't make sense for the child to sit on the couch, put the money in the pocket, and say, I'm going to wait for the delivery man to come. You see, especially in the West, the church has this idea that we sit and wait for the kingdom to come to us. But the task of the church is to be sent and to go and to infiltrate the world around us with the gospel. Where is God sending you? Where is God sending you here in Dodgeville? Where is God sending you in Ridgeway, in Edmond, in Mineral Point, in Livingston, in Highland? Where is God sending you? Think of where you are. That is where you're sent. Who are the people you interact with in your workplace? Who are the unbelievers you know in your home? You say, I can't get around much. Maybe I'm homebound often. Well, who do you interact with? Your family? You have friends? You're sent to them. You're 11. Some of them may be unbelievers. You have a message to live in their presence and give to them as God gives opportunity. So we have to come to grips that we are here to not stay here. We are here to be sent. Amen? Second room. Not only are we sent, but we are here to share. In verse 2, Jesus says that he gave them powers, and he says he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. This room we learn how we are to, okay, I realize spatially I'm sent. I have to be among people who need to hear this message of the kingdom. But now I need to learn how it is to share that message. How it is to deliver that message that God has given. And so one of the things that we equipped ourselves with is the ability and the task to know how to share that message. We're called to share. We dare not hold it to ourselves. By sharing this message, others receive it. We are vessels to expand the kingdom of God. Look how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you want to turn there in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he uses an interesting word to describe how we share the message. In verse 17, he talks about our salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you trust in Jesus, everything changes. You become a new person. But now, in verse 18, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? He's given us the task of bringing people into that relationship with God through the gospel. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is, God has chosen to use you as leaven. God has chosen to use you as an ambassador. And you are to share that message, share that truth, not hold on to it to yourself. Be open-hearted, open-handed to those who need to hear it. And in verse 20, it's climaxed by the word ambassador. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. Have you ever pleaded for something to someone? Like, that means you beg someone. Now, I don't understand what it means for the sovereign God of the universe to plead through us, but it says it here that God is pleading to people to be reconciled. But he says that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? It is a representative of a messenger. That is, there is a messenger who represents a certain entity. They send a one who gives that message. They're the messenger. There's a message. Sends the messenger on a journey to go to a place to deliver the message. We are ambassadors. God has a message. He's given it to us. He sent us, but we must share it. We must share it. That means that we are called to take that message of the kingdom of God, that God is reconciling sinners to himself, that God has a new creation life available for you. You're living the old creation life that is to destruction. God wants you to have a new creation life so that you live for God, so that your life reflects God's glory, so that you're restored in your relationship with God, so that the decisions you make represent God, so that you bear fruit giving glory to God, so that you're not living for the devil but living for God, so that you're not living in the kingdom of darkness but you're living in the kingdom of light, and so that one day when you die, which will be very soon, you're going to go to heaven and glorify God for all eternity. But we got to share that. I have to give credit to the mailmen of Dodgeville, mailmen and women, especially since the past few weeks. It has amazed me. I was going out with Alicia the other night, and as we drove down the hill, it was like 6 o'clock, and there was a mail truck, and there was a mail carrier walking the streets delivering the mail. Got to give them credit. Rain or shine or snow, they're out there. A couple of weeks ago, that one weekend when it was frigid cold, I was out there shoveling the mounds of snow that piled up at the end of the driveway, and then pulled up to our mailbox was a mailman. And I joked with him, and I said, you know, these days it's impossible to reach the mailboxes because the plow, you know, we couldn't really reach the mailbox. And I just think of what they have to go through. Interestingly, he looked at me and he said, are you part of a church? And I said, yes. And he said, do you preach the Bible? And I said, I do. And he said, okay, I'm looking for a church that preaches the Word. And we got to talking about all different things, and it was a blessing to see him come and visit us last week. But the idea of that guy, I would really love to sit down with him and talk about his job going throughout this town to deliver mail no matter what. But you know something? When he delivers the mail, he's just delivering it. If a person receives something in the mail and they don't like it, why would they get mad at the mailman? That would make no sense. But it's easier to get mad at the mailman because they're right there than it is to get to the one who sent the mail. And so what you'll experience is that when you deliver that message to people around you, they get mad at you. Why? They don't like the message, maybe. They can't take it out on God as easily as they can take it out on you. But at the end of the day, you just say, God, I'm an ambassador. I just represent you. I just deliver your message. When you have that ambassador mindset, sharing the message becomes so much easier because you realize you've got nothing to prove. All you have to do is deliver the message that God has given you, you've accepted, but now you have to give it to others. And so we engage in the task of sharing. You are sent, but are we sharing? Are there ways that we are engaging the lost so as not only to build relationships, but to invite them to this life called Christianity that we know and we experience and that they need desperately? Are we sharing that message? But look, if you will, in the third room. Look, if you will, in the third. The first room represents how we are sent. The second room represents how we share. The third room represents how we serve. How we serve. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Why did he send them to heal the sick? People are lost and they're dying and going to hell. And they need to be reconciled to God through the gospel. Their bodies are going to burn up anyway. And they'll have a new resurrected body after the end of the age. Why did he call them to heal the sick? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he wanted to show them that he cares about the people to whom they are sent, that he cares about the people to whom that they are sharing the message. And the people that he was sent to often were struggling with pain, struggling with suffering. They were in the midst of the effects of sin in the world around them. And Jesus wanted to tell them, I am the Savior, not only of your soul, but of everything. And I have come to bring a message of healing, not just of your soul, but of everything. And I want to prove it to you. Take up your mat and walk. And the people were amazed. Because people who were lame were walking. People who were blind were seeing. People who were dead were coming back to life. I'm not saying that God has given you a miraculous gift to make lame people walk, though I do believe God works miracles. What I'm saying is that in our interaction with our dough, we want to show them that we care about everything about them. Not just where their soul is going to be forever. That is why James can say, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's why James can say, pure and undefiled religion before the Father is this, to visit widows and orphans, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Is this a social gospel? No. You see, the social gospel, historically, What happened was, is this individual was upset because he saw all the churches around him that were not caring enough about their neighbors and communities. And so what he started doing, he started reaching out to the community and started helping the environment and helping people feel better in their suffering and to alleviate the suffering. But what happened was, is that became the gospel. The social gospel says that salvation is alleviation from earthly sufferings. And leaves out the person's eternal salvation and soul with God. And so what happens is the social gospel often disconnects itself from the truth and the need for salvation, saying that people are lost sinners, living in sin, and need to be reconciled to a holy God, and just embraces, we're here to help you live better. However, the real gospel, the sharing gospel of the kingdom of God, is not just, I'm just going to be interacting with your soul only and care about your soul only because I want to see you in heaven. But it also says, I want to share my life and give my life to show you that I love you. And that I want you to be saved. And here's how I'm going to show you that I love you. I'm going to serve you. So I'll just give a few examples of how that looks. Looks like in the real world, and these are going to be examples we're very familiar with, so we realize I'm not talking about some far-fetched things. Ray Comfort, we all understand Ray Comfort is a very gospel-centered, gospel-preaching ministry of living waters where he interacts with people for their souls. If you ever read his biography, I encourage you to. When he first moved to Southern California, he would go to the parks of Southern California that were riddled with drug addicts and homeless people. The parks were pretty much taken over. And he would go there to stand on a soapbox and preach to them. But he would bring with him bags of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And on occasion, he would bring with him a nurse or a team of nurses who would come and bandage the wounds of the people who are getting into knife fights and had knife wounds in their sides. So not only was he sharing the message of the gospel, but he was serving them to show he loves them and validating his words. Let us not love in tongue or word only, but in actions and in truth. He gave them the message. He didn't compromise, but he also served those whom he loved. We all know of Samaritan's Purse that goes, and they, when a disaster strikes, they go out to help rebuild the communities that are destroyed. But they ensure that the families that they interact with have a Bible and that they can talk with them about the gospel, you see? The problem is when that soul healing gets removed from the service. But the soul healing needs to have the service. And so we, as a church of Jesus Christ, are called not only to be sent to our community, not only to share the gospel with our community, but to serve our community and show them the love of God in our actions and in our willingness to see a need, a real need, and be willing to ask God, how can I, as a beacon of light in this dark world, meet that need? When we do that, we are like leaven. We humble ourselves before the Lord and say, God, we're here. We receive your truth in the Word, but we need your power. He gives us his power, and we're like fermented leaven. And he sends us into the world around us, and we infiltrate the dough of darkness around us. We share that message with those around us, whether it be verbally, whether it be our actions, whether it be the way we write to one another, the way we talk to each other on the phone. And then we ask God, God, in what ways can I serve those around me? When we do that, the kingdom of God expands. And glory is given to God. What did the disciples do? He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In verse 6, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. There's an insert in your bulletin. I know that many of you did not read it until this moment. This here summarizes what we've been learning. What are we here for? We are here to exalt the Lord, equip the saints, and expand the kingdom through the gospel and power of Jesus Christ. People ask me, what denomination are you, when they hear I'm a pastor or I go to a church? And I used to pride myself in responding rather smugly, oh, we're non-denominational. But I realized as I thought about that, what message does that relay? They're asking us, what do we do? What are we about? I don't want it to be an answer, oh, we're not. What are we? May this be a unifying purpose and mission for us. This is why we are here. Will you participate? What has to change in our lives so that we are engaging in our God-given purpose? May we all seek the Lord. May we all follow our Lord as He leads us and see the work that He will do. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your glorious gospel of the kingdom of God. Thank you that somebody was sent to us. Anybody here who was born again had somebody sent to them. Thank you, Father God, that they shared that message to us. I pray, Father God, that we would refocus ourselves to realize that we are sent. We are called to share, and we are called to serve. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would remove the obstacles. I pray, Father God, that you would fill with your power. And I pray, Lord God, that you would always, always receive all the glory. No glory to us. All glory to you, dear God. Somebody here this morning may be not in a right relationship with you, Lord. Would you send that invitation to them? That they would realize that they are lost in sin, wandering in the world, and you are inviting them in. That they must repent, that is, just turn from their sin, change their mind about the direction of their life, turn to you. That they must put their faith in you, just trusting that you took care of their sins on the cross. That they don't have to earn their way into the house, they just have to receive it as a free gift. I pray, Lord, that they would do that now. And once in, Lord, I pray that you would lead them down the hallways that we have been down. Lead them down the hallways of their purpose. And join with us to do your work. Thank you, Father God, for this mission. May we live it until our dying day. And all God's people said, Amen.